So today's a fast day. And as you go to Pratas, you're going to learn about fasting today. Well, not exactly. We learn about the day we fast. The famous day we fast, of course, is Yom Kippur. And our lesson, which is the final Chumash lesson for this week, is going to take us to the very end of Parshas Tetzaveh. In the psukim that comprise Maftir, the very last reading, the Torah tells us, we're talking chapter 30, verse 8, the Torah tells us that when Aaron HaKohen, kindles the menorah, Vahalis Aaron is Haneres, when he kindles the lamps or fires up the lamps, Benhar Bayim, in the afternoon, as the shadows are going the other way and the sun is beginning to set. So that's when he should be kindling them. And he does so. It's still high noon. It's not high noon, but like in the last third of the day. The sun has begun its descent. Yaktirena Keteres Tamid Lifnei Hashem. Then he should bring an incense. And this should be a constant thing. And he does this Lifnei Hashem before God, L'deri Sechem, for all of your future generations. So, what is the meaning of when Aaron fires up the lamps, that then he should kindle the he should light up the incense? Rashi says, Vahales, the word uvahales is really literally means to raise up. It's not raise up. Vahales means to kindle. Kishi adlikem. Lahales lahavton. When he kindles them, and you kindle them in order to raise up the flame. So when you kindle them in order to raise up the flame, says Rashi, at that time, yaktirenu. At that time, there has to be incense which is brought. B'chol yoim, says Rashi, every day, they were bringing pras, a half a portion. Makdir shachris, half a portion would be offered in the morning. Ufras, makdir bein harbayim, and half would be offered in the afternoon. So in other words, there's in every the Torah is divided up into portions for every day, and the portions for every day are brought half in the morning and half in the afternoon. Now the Torah comes along and says, however, this incense, which is brought on the golden altar, which is inside the actual structure, in the originally of the Mishkan of the temporary Ohel Moed, later on in the Beis HaMikdash, in what's called the Heichal, the actual sanctuary proper, Leisala Lav Keteder Zora. You shall not bring upon it any foreign incense, the oilam, or a scent offering, or mincha, meal offering, the nesech, or a libation. Lo yisischo alav, you shall not pour upon it. Says Rashi, lo yisalo alav, we speak here about the golden altar, which is also known as the inner altar, al mizbeach ze, on this particular mizbeach, there's not allowed to bring any keteres zara, any alien or foreign incense. What does that refer to? Shum keteres shal nedava. This cannot be people's own incense that's brought by their own volition or with their own generosity. When it comes to korbanos can be brought in various ways. There are communal offerings, also personal offerings. So anybody can come along and say, I want to bring an offering. And that's fine. It's a beautiful thing. We have a shlomim, we have a chatas, we have sin offerings, and we have peace offerings, asham, guilt offerings, not when it comes to ketores. When it comes to ketores, it's only the mandated offering and nothing more. And that's, Rashi says, the meaning of Loisala Olav, you shall not bring any Keteres Zara. Keteres Zara, the alien or strange or foreign offering is Kulon Zara Slay. Everything is alien to it. Chutz Mizeh. And this is set aside only for this and for nothing else. Ramban explains this a little bit differently. He says you're not allowed to mix anything else in. We know there are exactly Yud Aleph Samani Akteres. There are 11 specific types of ingredients that are used for the Ketoret, very exact. We learn that at next week's Parsha. And Ramban says if you mix in a 12th, or if you replace one of the 11, that would be considered an alien kind of Ketoret. Chizkuni says it has to come from communal funds. That's the emphasis here. Even if this comes from the Kohen's personal money, or even the Kohen Gadol's personal money, it's no good. This cannot be brought on a personal level. This can only be brought on behalf of the entire community. And we finish off by saying, if you're not allowed to have an oila or a mincha, says Rashi, loy oila u mincha, not an animal offering, not a meal offering, shal behema, the oif, from an animal, from fowl, from a bird. So an oila, that's what an oila would refer to. A mincha would be shalechem, various kinds of of loaves or breads that we spoke about yesterday. None of this can be burnt on the inner altar. All of this has to be done on the outer altar. And Parshas Tetzaveh, which is all about the Kohanim empowerment. The Kohanic empowerment happened through Moshe Rabbeinu, from the Atah Tetzaveh, from you command, from the oil to the menorah, from the clothing and raiments and vestments to the installation ceremonies. And now finally we conclude with the idea of Ketoret. The entire Parsha concludes with the following words. V'chiper Aharon al Karnosef. Aaron will atone for, so to speak, over the horns or corners of this Mizbeach. Achas Bashana. Once a year. Midam Chatas HaKippurim. From the blood of the sin offering, which is brought in Yom Kippur. Achas Bashana Yechaper Olav. Once a year, the Kohen will perform this duty to atone, L'derisechem, for your generations, Kodesh Kodoshim Hila Hashem. This is the holy of holies, the highest level of sanctity before God. And that's how Parshas Tetzaveh concludes. So Rashi says, V'chiper Aharon, here we speak of Matan Damim, we speak of placement of blood. So whilst there are no offerings that are burnt on top of this altar, all of the things that are burnt on this altar are only the incense and the very specific incense, not all kinds of different things. Nonetheless, once a year, Aaron does come in and place the blood of the offering on the actual surface of the altar. B'yom HaKippurim, this refers to Yom Kippur, who Shenemar, as it says, Be'acharim Mois and Parshas Acharim Mois, which is coming much later on in the next book, V'yotzo El HaMizbeach HaShelofnei Hashem, Aaron then, after collecting the blood of slaughtering the he-goat, goes into the Mizbeach, which is before Hashem, v'chiper olav, and he atones for it. And this is the Chatas HaKippurim. And the Torah finishes off with the idea of Kodesh HaKadoshim, that the Mizbeach is mukdash, l'dvarim halalu, the Mizbeach is sanctified, set aside for these things only, v'loi la'avoida acheres, not for any other kind of avoida. Now, the Chizkuni asks a very interesting question. He says, we do have something called a Chatas HaNichnas Lefnim. There is a chatas, there is a sin offering, whose blood is brought inside. And that's not only on Yom Kippur. That could happen even during the year. So why does it say that the blood of the offering is only brought on Yom Kippur? So the Chizkuni explains that there's a difference between the blood which is dashed on the corners, on the sides of the Mizbeach, and the blood which is placed on Tahorei Shel Zahav HaMizbeach, on the actual surface. So the Mizbeach was like a square altar. The square altar has four corners, as all the Mizbeches had. So the blood would be dashed on the corners. That happened, that's true. He says, and this was a special kind of chatas. Usually a chatas, a sin offering, is consumed by the Kohanim. And HaKoyelim Oichlin, Ubailim Miskapim, the Gemara tells us. The Kohanim consumed the Korban. And this brings about a sense of atonement or cleansing for the people who brought the Korban. That's when there is Matan Damim B'chutz. That's when the blood is placed on the outside altar. When the blood is brought inside to the inside altar, such a chatas is nisraf. Such a chatas is to be burnt entirely. It's an ola. But then, even then, the blood that's brought inside is only placed on the corners of the Mizbeach. The only time Aaron dashes the blood directly onto the surface of the Mizbeach, that dashes the blood directly onto the surface, that's the very plain, same place the incense is placed, that's only on the holiday, the festival, the special day of Yom Kippur. So the obvious question is, how do we end up finishing Parshas Tetzaveh with Yom Kippur? What's the connection with Yom Kippur? So I didn't find any other explanation for this, actually. And it's not so much a question. Okay, so that's what the Torah decided to say. But it is a question. It's just very odd, very strange, that of all the things talked about in this week's Parsha, the very last thing we talk about suddenly is a law, a halacha, a mitzvah for Yom Kippur, especially because there's a whole Parsha which is devoted exclusively, just about exclusively, to the Avodah of Yom Kippur. That's Parshas Acharei Mois. And that's the Torah portions that we read on Yom Kippur. So, like, why wouldn't it talk about it then? Why does it mention this today? So the Rebbe actually once spoke about this. In fact, it was one of the last Fabrengas of the Rebbe before he had the stroke. He spoke about this exact subject. I think it may have been the last Shabbos. And the Rebbe said like this. The Rebbe said, "Yesh lo tmoya." This is like really quite astonishing. Ma in yona shel avedas yom kippurim. We're on page 8, Samach Vav, by the way, in the Bureau book. What is the connection between the avedah, the service of Yom Kippur, shemekoyma beparshas acharei mois, It belongs in the parsha that discusses the story of what happens in Yom Kippur, which is introduced as Acharei Mois, in the post-mortem of Shnei Bnei Aharon. Aaron's sons went into the Holy of Holies. As such, they were taken by Hashem. And so we hear, they made a mistake. They went into the Holy of Holies. We should never go into the Holy of Holies unless you're a Kohen Gadol, unless it's Yom Kippur. That's the Acharei Mois. That's where we introduce the parsha. But the vast overwhelming majority of subjects of that parsha are Yom Kippur related. It's all about Yom Kippur. So this is a halacha. This is Yom Kippur halacha. That, especially the way Rashi explains it. Rashi says, Achaz Bashono. What does it mean? V'chiper Aaron, Akarnas HaMizbeach. That Aaron is going to go ahead and atone for in the corners of this Mizbeach. Like a euphemism. That's Achaz Bashono. Means B'yema Kippurim. Hushan Emreba Achremais. That's the meaning of what it says in Achremais. Like, why are we talking about Yom Kippur over here? The halacha is Yom Kippur. Belong with halacha is Yom Kippur. I know the Torah is not written in chronological order or historical order necessarily, but there's a rhyme and reason. On the contrary, the reason it's not written chronologically is precisely because sometimes the rhyme and reason of the messages being conveyed are not historically related. It doesn't matter what happened first. What's relevant and important for us is which subject belongs here first. So how did that get switched? So the Rebbe said something unbelievable. V'yesh leimar, he suggested, shebekach remezes ha-teira. The Torah is trying to hint to us, Shavedas Hakateris Shebachol Yom, that the service of bringing incense every day, who may ein Avedas Hakoyin Hagodol b'Yom HaKippurim. It is a reflection of, or in a microcosm, just a mini kind of, if you will, act of holiness, act of devotion, just like Yom Kippur, and just like the Kohen Gadol. Every day's incense. Now, every day's incense was not brought by the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was only Yom Kippur had to bring it. As a rule, they would try to distribute this amongst all the Kohanim because it says that whoever brings Ketoret becomes wealthy. So they would try to make sure that somebody who never did it yet would bring the Ketoret, so all the Kohanim should be able to make a living. Everybody should have a parnasa. So it wasn't brought always by a Kohen Gadol. And we're talking about 365 days a year, so to speak. And in our incense, when we recite the verses of incense every single morning, we talk about the different portions, the amount of Ketoros which is generated. The Ketoros is ground very finely and mixed very finely, and then it's put aside, and that every day we take a certain portion and divide that portion, as we learned, some of it in the morning, some of it in the evening. It's offered on the ark. So the Rebbe says that this Torah is conveying a very, very profound message to us. You should know that Ketoros, which is one of the unique kind of serving Hashem, it's different than everything else that goes on at the Beis HaMikdash. This is a me'ein, this is similar to or reflective of the Aveid of Yom Kippur itself. Ukumavur, b'sifri Kabbalah v'chsidis, like it explains in the books of Pnimiyas HaTorah, sha'aveidus ha'ketoros, ro'im zeis, le'gili etzem ha'neshama, that the Ketoros specifically alludes to laying bare the core essence of the soul. In fact, the word ketoret, which in Hebrew means incense, in Aramaic means a knot, to be bound or bonded unto God. Like Rabbi Yishuv Bar Yochai said in the last day of his life, "Bechad katira itkatarna," I have become knotted. I have become one, fastened to God as one. So the idea of ketoret is indicative of a very, very profound and deep oneness that's achieved with Hashem. And when do we have this? When does everybody's neshama get revealed? When does the yechida, the core essence of the soul, when does it come to the fore? On Yom Kippur. Every year on Yom Kippur. That's when the yid's neshama comes out. And the Rebbe said, not only does the Torah want us to know that the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash of Ketoros, this unique and very special form of Beit HaMikdash service, that this is a microcosm of Yom Kippur every day of the year. But mitam zeh, perhaps for this very reason, anu maskirim, we mention, bi'amiris ha-braisa, when we say the Mishnayos every morning prior to davening, and prior to Mincha also, we speak about the korbanot, the offerings that were brought, as we learned yesterday, in the name of the Aruch Haim, and the Shalom Paras Faseinu. We don't have offerings today, but there's the dvarim, there's the words we say, because we can't do it actually. So it's like you, a loved one passes on, you talk about this loved one. And that way the children, the grandchildren, they still know about this because you're talking about it all the time. Today we have pictures and videos. Once upon a time we didn't have that. How do we keep people's memory alive? Talking about it. Yesterday on the radio, Zelda was asking about Esther. And how unfortunate is Esther? She's like, she didn't live it. There's no happy ending for Esther. I said, it's true, but think about it. How many little girls want to be Queen Esther this Purim? It's so many thousands of years later, and she's like alive. I said, who else is alive from that period? Who else is remembered? So Esther has continued to live on far, far beyond life, right? We're always talking about her. The Megillah is named after her, and so on and so forth. With the Beit HaMikdash, to us, is alive. How could it be alive? The Beit HaMikdash almost 2,000 years ago was destroyed because in our daily prayers we're talking about it, because we're reading about it in the Torah. It's a constant subject. It's an issue for us. We're always talking about it. And when a Yid speaks about something, it's meaningful. And we mention every single day in the Braisa, which is called Pitum HaKetoret. Every morning we actually read before the preamble to davening, read about the Ketoret. And every single afternoon before Mincha, we read about the Ketoret. And we mention specifically Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Every day we mention Yom Kippur. Every day of the year, a Jew who davens what says in the Siddur mentions Yom Kippur not once but twice. Every day. We say, Shlosh Manim Yesedim, that there were 365 portions set aside, and there was always three extra portions. And what were those three extra portions? Shemehem Machdes Kein Gadol Lechafnav, the Kein Gadol would enter into the Holy of Holies with his hands, heaping load in his hands. Be Yom Kippur, you do this in Yom Kippurim. This last portion, these last three portions, would be returned to the mortar, be'erev Yom HaKippurim and the Erev Yom Kippur, so that they would be ground even more finely. Everything was ground very finely. You couldn't see a difference between one of the ingredients to the other. They're all ground together as one. Memulach, totally mixed up. And yet, for Yom Kippur, we would regrind it even more finely, so that all of the 11 spices should be totally homogeneous. To emphasize, to remind us that the Aveda of Ketoros every day, it's Me'ein Avedas Yom HaKippurim. It's similar to the Aveda of Yom Kippur. And perhaps the takeaway, or one takeaway, is that a Yid, when comes Yom Kippur, is on fire. Most Yidin go to Shul. Everybody's elevated. Everybody's energized. Everybody's inspired Yom Kippur. But the truth is, that can be achieved every single day of the year. There's a little piece of Yom Kippur in every single day of our life. And we have to try to claim that piece. We have to try to develop that little tiny figment of Yom Kippur that's sprinkled throughout the year, so that the holiness and the magic and majesty and pageantry and the spiritual elevation of Yom Kippur is something that can inspire us all year long. And Bashgacha Pratas, we're learning about this today, and today's a fast day.
What is that incense that he would take in? What does that represent today?
What does the incense represent today? This is not a short question, but I gave a long class last year about the incense and what it represents. It represents many, many, many things, but as for our purposes today, it represents the highest form, the purest form of Avodat Hashem. Reach, the idea of the faculty of smell, is something that touches us in a very deep way. So this represents serving Hashem with the core essence, the nuclear essence. That's called Yechidah.